You're invited to join me in the real deal. Well, you'll learn how to own that remodeling job and get paid what you're worth. This is my signature two-day training for serious interior designers who want to bring consistently high-profit remodeling jobs into their business. For complete information and tickets, go to interiordesignbusinessacademy.com. See you there. I'm Terry Taylor, and this is the Interior Design Business Academy podcast. As an interior designer, you may be thinking, I love what I do, but I am so overworked and underpaid. Let me tell you, I've been there too. I spent many years learning from my own mistakes and developing proven strategies and systems to make interior design a profitable career while keeping it fun and creative. So now, I'm here to help you get paid what you're worth. If you're ready for some straight talk about how design business really works, and you're ready to break through old belief systems that are holding you back and shift into beliefs that support your goals and bring lasting success, you are in the right place. You know, often it's a big struggle to get your design business to the point of having a consistent cash flow, good clients in the pipeline, and a steady paycheck. Sometimes you're struggling to attract clients who can't make a decision on a $5,000 budget, and you can't make a living doing that. Your cash flow can go up and down like a roller coaster. That is really scary, and everybody's been there. And you're probably afraid to tell your sister how much you actually made last year because she'd tell you to go get a real job, you know, like at Pottery Barn or something. Not what you want, right? And I know you're trying really hard to make it better by working harder and longer hours and pushing harder, but it's just not getting any better. Okay? And it doesn't have to be that way. It really doesn't. Okay? Actually, what you want, what that great business that actually flows and does what you want is actually right in front of you. It's actually at your fingertips. But the problem is, you're likely that you can't see it because you're in your own way. Okay? Now, in your own way is very common. Okay? We've all done it. I'm very aware of when I'm in my own way. Quite frankly, I've worked on this for years and years, and I have some things that just push back at me. I know that when I get on my own way, I can't find things. Okay? I know it's right there. It's on my desk. It's in my computer. Can I find it? No. Right? And I have to just take a break and leave and start over at another point because I'm in my own way. Now, this can show up in a whole bunch of different ways. That's kind of a little one that I'm always aware of because I've worked through a whole lot of these other ones. But let me tell you about some of the bigger pieces that we get stuck in that cause this not being able to see where you're going and where our own behaviors keep us from having what we want, quite frankly. Okay. First of all, sometimes we live in a place with excuses, right? the walls of our life are lovingly decorated with a lifetime collection of excuses of why we didn't. Well, it was not the right time, or I didn't have the money, or I wasn't sure I should do it, or, you know, it didn't happen the way I thought it would happen, or it didn't look like what I thought it should look like. All of that stuff, excuses, all right? You know, not right time, not ready to jump. I don't know how to do it. I'm afraid to do it. A whole bunch of stuff like that goes on, right? Okay, it's endemic to what we do because it's challenging and everything's new and different and all that stuff going on. Yet it is part of the excitement and the beauty of what we do as designers as well. So, you know, here's some things besides the excuses that can get in your way. And being aware of this is really important. One of the biggies that I hear is I'm not good enough yet. Now, that's a statement about I can't go be in a show house because I'm not good enough yet. I don't know those girls. I'm not ready for that. I can't do that. Or getting your work published or joining awards. Oh, I'm not good enough for that. Or even sticking with a really horrible, horrible client. Well, I have to put up with this because I really need the pictures. You know, there's this whole litany of things that happen to us, that jobs that we don't step into, where, you know, in your in your imagination and your desire for what you want in your business, you want to do a 12,000 square foot house, you know, one of those, you know, a whale, right? Where you do the whole thing from the beginning. It's a new build all the way through the furnishing and all the last details. And it ends up in a magazine cover. You know, that's the sort of thing that we aspire to. But often, I'm not good enough gets in the way. That when that opportunity to do a new build gets in the not good enough kicks in, going, oh, I don't know if I could do that. I've never done that before. I don't know if I could get all that done. Maybe I shouldn't take that. Maybe I shouldn't go after that or that opportunity. And of course, it slips away. All right. So let me tell you something. You are good enough. Okay. You know, you are good enough. Okay. You know more than you did last year or yesterday. You know more than your client. And quite frankly, as designers, we get better with every single job we do. Okay. Now there's like a 2% margin there. Every time you do a job and you go through at the end and you do your, what we call the Groundhog Day, you go back through it and go, what worked, what didn't work, that sort of thing. You pick out those pieces that worked really well. Say, okay, I'm going to keep that in my system. That was really good. This and this didn't work. What am I going to do about it? Okay. When you start tweaking that stuff, start tweaking those things that weren't quite right. Okay. You're going to be better on the next job. And I like to think of it as 2% better. You know, you're standing in the client's house. This is the classic. You're standing in the client's house. You've done this reveal. She's jumping up and down saying, oh, you know, I love this. I love this. It just feels so good. I can't believe you got me so well. I wasn't sure what you're going to do. And I'm so glad I went along with it. I mean, it's that kind of juicy stuff from clients. That's the reason we do this, right? It's actually not the money. Right? I'll be truthful about it. It's that moment right there. But very often we're not even listening to it. We're over there looking at the corner, going how that came together and going, that's not how I told them to do that. That's not right. That's not it. All right. So, you know, we totally miss these juicy moments that would help us feel more like we're good enough. The client certainly thinks so, but we're focusing on a negative thing. Well, that's fine. You're going to change that and improve it on the next one, and you will be 2% better because of that. And let me tell you something. If you're 2% better in every job you do, how good are you going to be in 3 years? It's going to be phenomenal. All right. So, drop the not good enough, okay? You are good enough. It's a repetitive thought and it's in your own way. It keeps you from stepping into those opportunities when they really are there, okay? Another one that's pretty common to us as designer is being ruled by fear. Now, let me talk about what fear is a little bit. There's one kind of fear that your body senses if you're near the edge of a cliff or the on a very high balcony or something that says, back up, this is not a good place for you. That's a real fear reaction that you want to pay attention to. There are certain fears that we will always have, a fear of being dropped. Even babies have that, fear of loud noises. It will cause that reaction, okay? Those are real fears, okay? In the not real fears, but feel very real fears are things like what's going to happen if I say that and he doesn't like it and he comes back at me and says, no, I'm not going to do that. What do I do? Right. Or I'm going to present this and what happens if it doesn't, you know, it's looking at the future and figuring out a negative consequence for something you do and then believing it and letting that idea and that belief stop you in your tracks when it isn't actually real and it hasn't happened yet and it probably won't happen. Okay. Yet that idea kicks in, boy, it's powerful. It's really powerful. Now, one of the things that one has to do is start looking when that happens and figure out if this is real or not, or is this a story I just made up? I mean, I run into this in coaching all the time and teaching designers how to present a big number and how to actually go through the presentation and what the steps are and what you should do. And very often there's a lot of fear-based questions in there and pushback because it's based on a story their brains are telling them that hasn't happened and probably won't happen. Okay. And so there's this balance about learning what those things are. Okay. And learning to look at what you're thinking and seeing if they're actually real or not. Because the reality is that the big changes you're going to make, the big steps into the next level, there'll be some fear there. And it's not fear, I'm going to get hurt. It's fear, oh, I've got my toes over the edge a little bit here, and I'm not quite sure if I know what I'm doing, but I'm going for it, okay? That little edge right there, that edge is what jumps you up to the next level in your business, okay? And the ability to look at that fear and decipher whether it's a real thing or not a real thing and move through it so that you can do what you want to do is going to bring the kind of success that you're looking for. Okay. So being ruled by fear is one of the ways that we get in our own way. We get the opportunity and then we start making up stories in our head about what if, what if, what if, and we talk ourselves right out of it and it never happens and you stay exactly where you are. And that sometimes is a very sad place. Okay. Now, another getting out of our own way things that we do is playing too small. Okay. Playing too small. It's, you know, back to that dream, the inspiration to do a 12,000 square foot new build where you do everything all the way through furniture, art, accessories, everything. And it photographs and it ends up on the cover of House Beautiful. Okay. We all would like that to happen, right? But when you're talking about that, and you say, oh, you know, you get an opportunity to do a bigger job, like a whole house or a new build, right? Where you've got to do the whole thing. And the reaction is, oh, I've never done that before. I just do rooms or I just do furniture. I don't know that I could remodel a kitchen or do that. I've never done that before. You know, that kind of playing small will keep you small. Okay. You will not learn how to do the next kind of bigger job unless you say yes to it. Right. And once you say yes to it, then you figure out who you need to ask to make sure you got all the details right and you go do it. I can't tell you how many times I've walked out of somebody's office or house with a contract and a check in hand saying, this is going to be great. I've got some great stuff we're going to do. It's going to be so cool. And walking out the door, shut the door and say to myself, wow, that's really cool. But I have no idea how I'm going to get this done. Okay. I did it over and over and over again. But I did what I did do is sat on the drive back, think, all right, who am I going to ask? Who do I need to pull into this job? So I know I got these pieces that I'm not quite sure about. So I know I've got those in place. Okay. And that's how I moved up through all those different kinds of jobs and became a more of a big deal studio in my community where we did all sorts of stuff and we were well respected for what we did. It came from taking those chances. Okay. And not playing small, going after it, that when an opportunity came up, whether we actually knew how to do it or not, we're in it. We're absolutely in it, right? I'm going to figure out how to do that. Now, did I crash a few times on the way? Yeah. Yeah, especially when I was younger. I had some great opportunities that I just destroyed, absolutely destroyed, because I didn't know how to do it or how to ask, right? You know, here now, you have people to ask, people like me. I've often said, people say to me, why? I really wish you were around 20 years ago. And I say, I wish I was around 20 years ago too. It would have been really helpful because I had nobody to ask. It was just a matter of trying things, trying this, trying that, you know, until we got something to work. I'm here doing this with you, so you don't have to take 20 years to figure that out. So let you know that one. All right. So, you know, this playing small piece can really be in your own way, right? It keeps you from moving and keeps you from getting to where you want. So you got to understand that it's not your fault if this stuff's happening, okay? There's nothing wrong with you. Nobody ever told you about it before. So, you know, listen up, you know, I can show you how to turn this around. Here are a couple steps to getting out of your own way, some things that you could start with that would help you become more conscious of this and move through it. The first one is saying what you want. Okay. Like finding good clients is an inside game. Okay. Now, obviously there's marketing and all sorts of stuff that's attached to that. But the first thing that you have to work on is your inside story about the clients, believing that you're worthy of having high-end clients who pay you handsomely and love you to death. Okay. That is a belief change. Okay. And when you believe that and you say that out loud, even saying it out loud before it's actually happened. Okay. Because that's how you command the universe. What you focus on and what you say is what you create. And the universe responds 100% of the time. Okay. So when you rant about cheap clients who take advantage of you and don't want to spend any money and can't make a decision and price shop your stuff and, you know, yada, 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 you know, that whole tirade you hear all the time going on. When you do that, you're just solidifying that to the universe. The universe doesn't pick up the knot. It just picks up you're focusing on that, and that's what you're going to get. More and more of those, okay? So please, please, please pay attention to what you're saying. And stop going around and around about this stuff, because the more you focus on that, the more you say it, the more are going to come to you. So flip it over and say what you want. Say what would make you happy. What kind of clients do you want, and how great they are, and how qualified they are, and how they love you, and they have great budgets, and they love what you do. You could start saying that before it ever happens, because if you do that, okay, and you do that repetitively, it will actually change the energy and you'll start to vibrate at that level and pull those clients in. Pretty cool, huh? Okay. So pay attention to what you say. It's really important. Number two, you got to take responsibility for your financial success. Okay. What I'm saying is it's you and nobody else. You are the architect of your financial situation, period. Okay. And you need to let it land there and stay with that. It's not outside circumstance. Okay. Lack of money is not a circumstance. It's just the result of a certain mindset. Okay. It's what your thinking would be and what you've created through your thoughts. And by the same token, wealth and abundance is a result of a type of mindset. And so that you are co-creating with God, universe, higher power, however you want to say it. I'm pretty non-denominational, so you pick the word that's best for you. But you are co-creating that situation with the universe, all right? You're responsible for it, okay? And what you need to know is the clients that you want are wealthy and abundant, okay? They have a wealth and abundant mindset. And you need to step in and have a wealth and abundant mindset as well to raise your vibration so that you match with them. Otherwise, they're not going to show up. Or if they accidentally showed up, you're not going to click with them because you're not running on the same level. Okay, so this becomes a really important piece, this idea of where your financial situation is and what it really means. You know, lack of money, when it's endemic, when it's always that way, it's mindset. Being broke is temporary, okay? And everybody, no matter how they're abundant, at some point ends up broke and you bounce down, you bounce back up again. You know how to do it. You go back to where you were. You have that essentially that muscle memory to create that. Because you've been there before, you know exactly how, okay? So it's really important to realize that when people struggle with money on and on and on, it's because they expect to struggle with money on and on and on. My story was growing up with just enough. Well, there's just enough to pay the mortgage payment and, you know, have food and clothes and that sort of thing in my family. And you know, that there's nothing wrong with that, except that I brought that with me. And when I was trying to create my own life after I was divorced and had a 6-year-old daughter to raise and working in a fancy furniture store on a straight commission basis, I had to figure that piece out. I had to figure out what it is that I wanted and what I expected. And when I took responsibility for that and stepped into it, I started creating what I want instead of just enough. Okay. I finally realized through studying mindset and actually Deepak Chopra at the time, I listened to a tape over and over and over again, trying to understand this stuff. And the reality was he's saying that we create our situation. And I said, well, I don't want to create that situation. I'd like to have a retirement. I'd like to own a horse and be able to do and explore that part of my life. I would like to pay for my daughter's college and a wedding and all of those things. Well, I did, because I changed what I expected from the world and how I operated in it, and the world, universe, God, higher power cooperates with all that. Okay? Tip number three, living in a healthy environment. Okay? Now, we are all very environmentally sensitive. Okay? You know, physical environment, absolutely. But the emotional and energetic environment around us is incredibly important too. And you want to pay attention to that. There's something called the law of association. It's a universal law. You could Google that sometime if you want to look at those. They're laws of just how things work. And it's kind of interesting to look at them and you go, oh, well, actually, yes, it's quite true. And the law of association says that your income is directly proportionate to the expectations of your peer group. That means the five people that you're closest to control the amount of money you make. Okay, the kind of clients you attract, the kind of work you're doing, all that stuff. Okay? So think about this. If you were wanting to lose weight, okay, would your kitchen be full of things like hamburgers and french fries and potato chips and packaged cookies and candy bars and that sort of stuff? No. No. We would want to get that out of our environment so that's not there. And we would fill it with healthy things like fresh fruits and vegetables and you know, proteins and things that will support our body and keep us healthy. Okay. That's a pretty obvious, you know, observation there. The analogy to that is people affect us the same way. And we need to have healthy, fertile, environmentally supportive people around us in order to grow into what we want to be. So you've got to surround yourself with people who are above you or at least going the same direction you are in order to support you moving in there, in order to create the environment around you. Now, people that you would like to have around you are successful people. And you can discover and observe successful people because they express gratitude all the time, okay? They're happy to share knowledge. They're happy to share with you anytime, okay? And they accept failures as their responsibility. They take responsibility for their own stuff, okay? And I know that you know people like that, okay? And it's important to be around them. On the other hand, unsuccessful people often criticize. Everybody always have a criticism going around. You know, people like that. They're fear change. They don't want anything to change. They're kind of locked into where they are. They tend to hoard information. They don't share. They hoard it. They don't want you to know. They're afraid that if you knew what they do, you'd get ahead of them or something would happen. I don't know. There's a fear-based thing tied into that. They often hold grudges for a long time. Okay? You can spot that one right out there. And they blame others for their failures. They don't take responsibility. So when you're in a situation with friends or family or that sort of thing, and Uncle Larry tells you, you can't do that. You know, it would be cool if you could look in Uncle Larry's wallet because I'll bet it's empty. Right? So pay attention to the people you surround yourself with. Now, this is not about being judgmental. It's an observation. And know that you need those five really successful, positive people in your court to support you to be able to do what you want to do. And you need to be able to limit your time with those people who are not. And I know sometimes they're family and friends. They're not going to go anywhere. You're not going to throw them away. But one needs to limit our time with them so that we have that good supportive energy around us so that we can do what we really want to do. So just checking in on all this mindset stuff, because I don't often talk about this probably as directly as this particular podcast in, but this mindset work is a really integral part of what we teach here at IDBA. It's very, very important. I figured it out 12 years ago when I started this, that if I didn't shift the mindset of the person I was working with so that they believed it was possible for them, that they could actually do it, it wasn't going to happen. And when I could shift the mindset, could shift the belief system slightly so that it supported them and they could open up and receive what's coming to them and actually see what's going on, it made an incredible difference. Incredible difference. And so what happens then is when I can shift that mindset and open up to what's possible for you, all the technical stuff that you think would be really hard, it isn't. It's really easy. It's just do this, 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 and it's like, boom, there it is. And to come back to the next Q&A with us and go, wow, I did what Terry said. I did this and this and this. And I was really scared. And it was really like, oh, I was really worried about. And she said, okay, and wrote a check. That's it. That easy. All right. So just to let you know, that is a big piece of what we do here at Interior Design Business Academy. And we've got all the technical information, but the really juicy, important stuff is changing some underlying beliefs that are hiding. They're subconscious for sure. And they're hiding under there. When you shift those and open up to what's really there, you stop getting out of your way and good stuff starts rolling into you. And it's a ton of fun. Okay. So check us out in interiordesignbusinessacademy.com. Go to the website. There's a lot of stuff to read. There's some freebies on there to listen to. The blog page has years worth of blogs and podcasts and videos on it that are all informational. So check it out. It's interiordesignbusinessacademy.com. And until I talk to you again, design something beautiful and get paid what you're worth. Bye-bye. I hope you enjoyed today's episode of Interior Design Business Podcast. If you love what you're hearing each week, let me know by leaving a rating and a review. And don't forget to follow the show so you don't miss out on clear, proven, repeatable, step-by-step recipes for attracting ideal luxury clients I share in each episode. As always, you can head over to interiordesignbusinessacademy.com to check out the links and resources from this episode. Till next week, design something beautiful and get paid what you're worth.